Welcome, everybody, to the Competition Archery Media Podcast, where we explore all things related to competition archery. I'm your host, PJ Riley. The Competition Archery Media Podcast is brought to you by our fine platinum sponsors. We have Matthews, Hoyt, PSE, Elite, True Ball and Excel, and Black Eagle Arrows. And with us today from Michigan, we have Cara Kelly. Cara, thanks for being here.
No problem. My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
First, as we've been doing with people in these unusual times, tell us what your world looks like right now. What's happening? What are you doing?
Well, I just had a baby.
Right. Congratulations, by the way.
Thanks. He's a month old today, actually. So, I mean, it's a scary time to have a child, for sure. Fortunately enough, it's our second child, so you know, we don't feel like we're completely out in an island all alone because we've done this once before. So,
right.
But he's only been able to meet his grandparents and that's it. So,
oh yeah, no family. Right. That's difficult.
Very difficult. And luckily my husband and I have, you know, we work together at the shop and the shop's not been open. So, you know, cause we don't have daycare, you don't have anything open to even rely on being able to take care of your child right now. So luckily for us, we've both been here at home with both boys and really kind of making that adjustment for our family. And having the archery shop and not being open is scary as well. I mean, we haven't been open since March, I think it was the 16th, 17th.
Oh, is that right?
Right around there. Yeah, because Michigan has been pretty stringent on the laws and the rules and everything that's been going on, and they've put in the Stay at Home Act probably earlier than a lot of the other states.
Right.
So we've been in pretty much lockdown already since March 16th. So
now how does that work with a newborn? I mean, obviously there would be doctor visits and things like that. What's the process for that?
Well, I took him to his first doctor's visit because it was right like at the beginning of when we came home, and he was supposed to have one at 2 weeks, and I haven't called. I haven't, because I know he's five. But I'm like, not even going to stir that pot. Because
yes.
It's just so scary, especially with a newborn, to even consider taking them out of the house, and you just don't know.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I really probably should call, but I haven't.
Hey, we're here. We're still alive. Everything's good.
He's still eating. He's still functioning. So, yeah, we're okay.
Oh, man. Well, how about archery? Are you practicing? What are you practicing? How are you practicing?
Yeah, so I obviously, I being pregnant and having kids, I planned on, you know, and having Jace, I planned on missing Indoor Nationals. I planned on missing Fort Benning. I planned on coming back the end of this month for Texas. Well, no Texas. We don't know if IBO is going to run middle of May. And right. Then, you know, we don't know about London, I think, until next week, if I'm accurate in saying that.
Yeah.
So I've kind of taken this time to really just get myself back together post-baby. I've shot my bow a couple times just out on the bale. And we haven't even put out our 3D targets yet, which is absolutely scary and kind of eats my insides to even admit. But hopefully we'll have them out like in the next day or two. Like my husband and I have talked about it, and I'm starting to feel really good recovery wise from having the baby. And like I said, I've been out shooting a little bit, probably sooner than they ever wanted me to, but
gotcha.
I hope they don't watch this podcast.
we won't tell them anything.
We won't. Right. So, no, but the targets, I'll get my targets out here soon. It's kind of like not necessarily been a rush for me to really hurry up and recover, which is kind of a blessing in disguise. But I would much rather be out shooting my bow.
For sure. Yeah.
In quarantine with a newborn, a toddler.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Well, are you one of those archers where it will take you a while to get back into shooting form, or can you kind of pick it up and it doesn't really take you a ton of time?
No, because I usually take off. I honestly take off from August. Like as soon as IBO Worlds, we fire our last arrow. Yeah. I do not look at my bow until November, December.
How about that?
So I use that time to really recharge my batteries mentally and physically. And, you know, it's a busy time of year for us at the shop. And so, no, I mean, I can jump right in. For me, it's like riding a bike.
Yeah.
Pretty fortunate in that aspect. And even after I come home from a major tournament during this time of year, I will take like a week where I don't look at my bow.
A week?
I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm like, I have been so mentally into that tournament, like so invested into that tournament mentally, that I need to like stop, shut down, and re-pick up my bow, like, and re-gear myself. You know, I think we underestimate how much these tournaments mentally drain us. And for me, I need that time mentally to re-get my life back in order all the way around.
Yeah.
Everything I miss from being gone, you know, I need to prioritize things and get things back in order, and at home, at work, every level. And then I pick up the bow and I'm ready to go and I'm clean and I'm not thinking about all this stuff that I have to do to get ready to go to the next one. So for me, that's been how I've done it for probably 3-4 years,
yeah,
maybe longer, but that's really what I do. So
how long have you been running the shop, you and Jason?
Jason and I took over running the shop last February.
Last February, okay.
It'll be a year, a little over a year now that we've done that. And, you know, prior to that, I worked in healthcare, which is scary to think about right now.
Exactly.
And then he was an electrician. So we kind of, with our family and obviously our growing family and our young family, this was a better option for us. And so I dived all into archery all the time.
Now, do people, okay, what's the name of your archery shop?
Hunter's Den.
Hunter's Den. Okay. Customers at Hunter's Den, I mean, they're coming in there. Do they know who they're buying from? Or do they know this is Cara Kelly, one of the best archers in the world? Are they aware of that?
You know, it's kind of funny because a lot of, like, your average Joe, no clue.
How about that?
Which is kind of cool, but, you know, like, I go up and I start talking, you know, archery with them and bows and arrows and stuff, and then they walk over to the range and they'll see some of those Happy Gilmore checks and they're like, who's this chick?
That's like,
oh,
awesome.
Yeah, that's me. So it's just kind of funny. But I mean, I would say some people do for sure, and they come and see us from a long ways away, which we greatly appreciate. And,
yeah. You
know, we love seeing people travel, you know, out of state, you know, across the state, hours away for Jason to work on their equipment and to come in and me coach them and work with them. And, you know, so it's been pretty awesome. Like, we're a really good tag team in that perspective, where
he's
the bow mechanic 120%, and I'm more the mastermind behind the coaching aspect of it. So it works out really good for us. And
yeah. We
love the opportunity to work with people. And we view that as such a huge compliment when people come as far as they do to see the shop and have us work with them.
Do you have the facilities there, like to run lessons and to have leagues and all that stuff? Yeah.
Yep, we do. We have a 20-yard indoor range.
Nice.
Attached right onto the pro shop right there. So you walk right out of the bow room and out of the tech room and you're in the range. And we can host tournaments there, which we've done. This year, we've hosted some S3DA tournaments for the youth.
Yes.
And we've had, you know, leagues, and we've also had, you know, bigger tournaments in the state. So,
That's awesome. And now, how has that been? As you said, you had a medical career before that in healthcare. Now you're 100% archery. How has that transition been over the past year?
It's been interesting, to say the least. I would say that I always loved having a job where I could come home from a tournament, go do my work, you know, and I always had that to fall back on, you know, and
yeah. I
always had that other job and that other aspect. But having a family now, you know, you kind of have to figure out where your priorities lie.
Right.
So me trying to do archery on top of working full time, 40 plus hours a week, on top of having 2 young kids now, was not going to work.
Right. You had to travel a fair amount for your job?
I did. I had I was a regional in skilled nursing care, and I had seven buildings. I had I had seven in Michigan and three in Wisconsin, so I had 10 total.
Gotcha.
So I traveled a lot. I travel on average 2 hours a day just from my home to a building and back every day. So, and then I'd go on trips over to Wisconsin for a few days at a time. And so it's just, that was fine before we had kids.
Right.
But this way, Jason and I have a nice balance at the shop where we both manage and run it. And we have two wonderful employees that work with us there. And so he'll say to me, "What are you doing here? Go home, shoot your bow."
Perfect.
What are you doing right now? You know, get out, go shoot the range, go move the range. So while the kids are at daycare, you know, like, well, Kate has been at daycare prior to Jace, I'd be at home shooting my bow or back in the shop working with him, or, you know, it's just a nice balance. So
yeah.
I let him go and hunt as much as he wants in the fall. That's when I'm on mom duty. And he lets me go shoot my bow as much as I need to in the summer, springtime.
That's awesome.
During that season.
Well, I didn't know. We talked to Kaylee Johnston 2 weeks ago or last week. I can't remember what it was now. And I found it interesting that she said she used her archery winnings to put herself through nursing school. I just thought, man, that's awesome, you know, and seeing, you know, just people who have found a way to do archery and have other careers and professions, run a shop. I mean, it is still archery, but it's not being a competitive archer. I mean, it is another, you have to be able to manage both, which
right.
I just find that incredible that how people are able to do that. Makes me feel like a slacker, I guess, is what I'm saying.
You are not. Not at all. Not one bit.
So last year, ASA Shooter of the Year, how many is that for you? Shooter of the Year.
How many Shooter of the Years?
Yes.
For ASA?
Yes.
Well, I won 2018 pregnant, and then 2019 I was not until the Classic. And then I think I've won two other prior to that, and I've had a bunch of seconds and a bunch of thirds.
Yeah.
So it's hard for me to like reflect back on how many I've won. Just because I'm always focused on the future. Like it's on to the next for me. So not missing a tournament this year because of the baby, I'm still in the hunt for Shooter of the Year. So I'm thrilled.
Yeah.
Thrilled. So I'm seeing the silver lining in all this Corona.
We talked to Dan McCarthy about his process through Shooter of the Year last year, and he talked about it, you know, it's mentally draining. How is it for you? Are you constantly focused on that? You talked about you're only thinking about the future. What was it like for you going through last season to get Shooter of the Year?
So I've always said winning a Shooter of the Year with ASA, I feel, is honestly one of the hardest things to do in an archery career. I've always said that. And honestly, you cannot think about it. As hard as that is to do, because you know what's on the line going into those. I knew what was on the line going into the Classic last year.
Right.
I knew what was on the line going into every tournament, at every event that we ever go to. You know what's on the line. It's always in the back of your head. But if you allow that to be in the forefront of your thinking, you've just defeated yourself before you ever even went to the event. So I'm a big proponent on mentally preparing for events. And I think that's what's allowed me to have a lot of success in my archery career is I know my equipment's on when I leave, and I know I've prepared the best that I possibly can. And I have set a goal for myself internally of what I want to do and what I want to meet. And if I start thinking about all the other things, like, I want to make the shoot down, or I want to win this event, or this arrow is going to be the silver lining for the whole thing, then, you know, it's kind of counting your eggs before they hatch, you know, so you really have to prepare and not think about each event. And that's how I've always been with, you know, I just try to go in and do the very best that I can every single tournament And if that means that I win that event or I come in fifth, then that's what that means.
Right, right.
And that's just the way I've always looked at it.
So there's been lots of talk, women's pro, women's open pro, that's an unknown distance. There's been talk about, I wish there would be a women's pro known division. There isn't, so, no point in wishing over that. But what would you say to some of the young women out there who are coming up, who maybe want to shoot pro? They seem to get hung up on that unknown part, that's the hard part. What would you say to someone in that situation?
Honestly, the biggest thing that I can say is, I grew up in the era where in the Cub class at IBO, we were shooting 50 yards, unknown distance. And I was shooting like 35 pounds. So you could watch my arrow go. I just think that a lot of us are scared, women especially, to judge yardage.
Yeah.
And I grew up in that time frame where that's where all it was.
Yeah, IBO, that's it.
And that practice into that element of it. And I think it makes the game more fun personally. I think it adds a whole nother element to it than knowing the yardage, focusing on where to aim and making the shot. Now you've added the whole element of, do I have the right number?
Yeah, right.
And so I really challenge all the young ladies coming up, because I know most of the classes are known now for women and for youth. I really challenge them to go out and learn how to judge yardage. And it's not a bad thing to have in your toolbox.
Sure.
In your toolkit to be able to use from hunting to, all elements of archery. And if you want to come up and play with us someday, you're going to need that in your toolbox. So
yeah,
I think that if a lot of people use it as a way to build themselves, known yardage can be a very beneficial thing. If you use it as a tool to help you learn yardage and build your confidence in your game, then, we're seeing a lot of people do that this year that have jumped over from shooting like K-45, the women's known class, all this time. They've gone over to women's open A, or, they've come up to play with us or vice versa.
Yeah.
They've used that as a tool to help them advance. So it's an incredibly competitive class. And, I'm glad that the known classes are there, because I think it can help people build their confidence to come up and play with us.
Right, right. The S3DA, is there a club associated that you're associated with, or a chapter, or is there just ones that you work with? Or
yeah, so we actually have a club established right out of the shop.
Okay,
so we
gotcha.
Have Hunter's Den Warriors.
Nice.
We have a team that's been competing around the state now, and they were looking very forward to going to indoor nationals, because they were going to shoot the Louisville indoor national S3DA tournament, and then the NFAA as well. And I was excited to have the whole team there doing that and seeing these kids that I've,
Right.
had the opportunity to coach and work with and develop, that wouldn't even go to local tournaments when I started working with them, go to their first national. So
yeah.
I didn't get to miss that this year, because I would have been having the baby literally.
Sure.
So I didn't get to miss that. So next year, I'm excited to have them go and get to experience that firsthand with them. So, yeah.
So with those kids, are you able to, because I believe S3DA is all known distance.
Mm-hmm.
Are you able to, talk to some of them about trying unknown distance or to try judging things like that?
Yeah, we haven't really jumped into that as much as I want to already in what we've done, because we came on, our team got established like late season 3D last year.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So this year, and I have them come right out to my home, and they shoot right here on my range with me. And so this year, yeah, we are going to do some of that and have them get their feet wet with judging, so they don't have to always rely on that rangefinder, because what if it breaks?
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah. And they're judging, they're shooting closer distances,
sure.
A lot of them. So judging that can be, a little little easier with some tips and tricks. Right. So luckily I've got that years of knowledge with judging yardage that hopefully I can help them have that part of their game.
What's your method? What's your judging distance method? I always like hearing everybody seems to have a little twist. Some things the same, but some things a little different. What's your method?
So I do a combination of things. The first thing that I always do is, like most, is look at the target. And I look at the scenario. I don't necessarily look at the target and think, oh, that's big, small, what? But I look at the scenario of what's going on around. Am I in tight lane? Do I have a big tree behind the target? What am I dealing with condition-wise on this target? And then for me, I've always learned, because I started judging yardage at a very young age, that in 5-yard increments. So okay. I judge in 5-yard increments. I don't take it from 20 and flip. I don't take it from 10 and flip. I don't do any of that. I judge straight up ground for those increments.
Yeah.
And then from there, I kind of look at all my other scenarios. What's the target look like now? Does he look over 40? Does he look under 40? Is he over 35? You know, like, and I've looked at enough targets and I have enough targets, luckily, that I'm able to do that now.
Right.
And that's how I do it for me. And, I really feel like that's a game that I've been able to perfect over the years. Even when I was like back in high school, before I even turned pro, I made a point, if you don't have a range, which a lot of people don't, I made a point to get out twice a week and drive to local ranges to see targets. And then I'd spend my weekends, Saturday, Sunday, driving to 2 different ranges if I could, if there were events, shooting. So I'd see, you know, 4 different ranges.
Wow.
Which is sometimes better than just seeing what you have here, in your own backyard. Because I have to move this constantly.
Yeah.
I sometimes move it twice a day. I mean, it's just, if you want to put the time into judging and seeing targets and taking your game to the next level in that perspective, even the aiming process on targets, you got to get out there and make the commitment to get to local ranges and support them and shoot those ranges and take that element of what you learn from each one of those ranges and apply it to your game.
Yeah. Are you in an area where you have that availability? There are clubs close enough around that you can get to a couple different ones?
Yeah, for sure. And I'm sad to say that I'm probably pretty bad at getting to local 3D ranges and shooting them just because of my schedule personally.
For sure.
With the kids and with work and with traveling and, you know, shooting at the level that, you know, we compete at and the number of events we go to. I'm pretty bad at it myself, but I definitely support what they do. And if I have the opportunity to go shoot one, I try to.
Right, right. I imagine when you were coming up, it was probably more something that you did. Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely.
Do you do 2 complete different setups for IBO and ASA? Your bow.
Yeah. So I run a Matthews Traverse for ASA.
Right.
My pretty blue with white limbs, my baby. I run right like 52.5 pounds, 53 pounds, and I'm running 27¼-inch draw length and about a 300-grain Carbon Express Tank 23 arrow out of that and getting right around 282 out of it, which is perfect because a lot of people forget that the women's pro classes run a 280 with the 3%, so 288 max speed limit.
Oh, yeah. I just thought 290, right?
No. Right. No, so the men all run 290.
Yeah.
So they get that variance of the 3% on the 290.
Sure.
We don't. We run the 288, the old speed rule, and what most of the classes do run. That's what we run. So that's a big difference.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. And so that's what I run for ASA. And then for IBO, I ran my Matthews Traverse again last year. I ran that and I just ran different arrows off of it.
Okay.
I ran a Carbon Express arrow off of that last year and it did well for me. I ran like a 290 speed, which IBO, 5 grains per pound, you can run into the 300s if you want, but not anymore.
Right.
Not anymore. They put the axe on that. Mm-hmm. So It's 300 speed limit for pros plus the 3% variance. So gotcha. That'll be nice for me this year. So I'm still kind of tinkering with what I'm going to necessarily run for IBO. I'm still trying to get that, but I'd like to be right around that 300 mark. So
your draw length, you said 27 and a quarter, 27 and a half?
Yep, 27 and a quarter is my draw length. And I run right at like 52. I max out the 50-pound bow
yeah.
to get that performance out of it. So 52 and a half, 53 pounds. And I've got a long draw.
Yeah. I was just going to say, so then you're in this class with these women like Erin McLattery and Sharon Wallace, who are really tall. I would imagine probably close to 30 inches. I don't know that, but that's what I would guess.
I think Sharon's like a 28 inch draw, half somewhere. And I believe, Erin's right around that also. I just have really long arms, and I swear that my dad put me on a stretcher when I was little. We always used to joke that he put me in a stretcher when I went to sleep and he'd stretch my arms out.
I've talked to your dad at some tournaments. I can believe that may be possible.
Yeah, because I'm not as tall as him, not even close.
Is there an achievement in your career yet that you would like to have, or something that you would like to accomplish for all that you've done? Is there still a mountain to climb?
Yes. There's one thing that I can't seem to get the monkey off my back, and that would be winning an indoor tournament. I have come so close the last 2 years with indoor nationals, finishing second in a shoot-off, both years back-to-back.
Yeah.
You know, it's just always kind of been right there knocking on that door. And I guess for me, it's just proving that I can play both games.
Right.
And not to say that, I mean, I've shot a 360X a few times at indoor nationals. I've shot 300 in Vegas. I've qualified well up at Lancaster Classic. I've done those things, but I've just never not won one. And I just really, really, really want to win one year. So I guess that would just be the one thing that is just kind of sitting there.
Do you spend a lot of time working on your indoor game?
It seems to be the more that I shoot indoor, the more that I stink at it.
Is that right?
I don't know. For a while for me, it was just getting over that mental hurdle of indoor, because one, I don't love it. I mean, I'll be perfectly honest. It's not the game that I love.
For sure.
I'm a 3D girl, true and true, but it was mentally getting over that block of all elements indoor related, that final arrow, that, dropping the first arrow, getting over all of, because it's a different type of nerves. It's a different type of mental preparation. And the more that I competed and the more that I did it, the more I felt comfortable. And when you start putting yourself in those scenarios, you know, as much as you possibly can, which I'm limited to, and a lot of 3D archers are, just because we don't compete on like the World Cup scene.
Yeah. Yep.
Shoot head-to-head matches, and we don't do that kind of stuff. You know, yeah, we're out competing head-to-head in our peer groups, and we're timing shots off and shoot-offs, but it's a different type of thing. And I used to say when I first started shooting indoor, I felt like I was, a fish out of water, just because it was so different. And took a long time to get used to it when I first turned pro, gosh, how many years ago? But as I competed more and more, I got more comfortable and I started shooting those scores that I shot at home at the tournaments. And that was like, whoo, yeah. So then mentally I got more confident with the game. And
what's a regular indoor season look like for you? Which ones are you always hitting?
I'm always going to the Lancaster Classic. I'm always coming to Vegas. You know, everybody loves Vegas. You got to be there.
Yep.
It's the Super Bowl of archery. And then indoor nationals. So those are really the three that I try to hit every year.
Yeah. That's something. With working at the shop, now it's only been one indoor season, but are you able to do, like, do you shoot in your local leagues just to do it?
Yeah, I try to shoot at the shop leagues as much as I possibly can. And so I do shoot those leagues, and, you know, I'll walk over because it tends to be a little slower time of year, you know, when spots is going on. So I'll tend to walk over and try to shoot as much as I can. But luckily this year we were pretty busy during the beginning of the year. So it seemed like every time I pick up my bow,
someone would show up.
So I was like, okay, well, you know, so, but you try to practice as much as you possibly can. They say you practice more when you have a shop, they lie.
Or at least the shop may not be open for very long.
Yeah.
Is
for sure.
So with your shop, you're in Michigan. That's one of the biggest bow hunting states in the country. I imagine the bulk of your business is bow hunting. Does it have a good target base, and are you working to build that?
Yes. So we, obviously with having the kids involvement that we have and the youth involvement in the programs we have, and we are starting to see a lot of people that are coming to us for our tournament needs just because of our background and our knowledge. And so, yes, we have started to carry a very wide variety of competition needs, from arrows to stabilizers to sights to everything that people would need. You know, even like the clarifiers, you'd be surprised at how many people can't find them.
Yeah.
The area. So, you know, it's specialty items like that we've started to carry to really, you know, have that there when people are coming to us. Same thing with the competition bows, you know, the TRX series for Matthews. We're a large Matthews dealer, which works out great for me.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, we carry Matthews in the missions line, and we stay very busy with obviously hunters and people getting started in the sport, but also a lot of people coming to us for those tournament needs now, which
right,
is great.
Right. I know Rob at Lancaster Archery, his thing was always, hey, tournament season's year round. Bow hunting's a couple months, tournament season's year round. So get them in there shooting their bows all the time.
Mm-hmm. Our range, we're pretty blessed to have the range. Our range stays very busy with people shooting pretty much all day long, which is great. You know, people have days off work and they're in shooting, or the kids got school off and it's packed with the kids. And I mean, it warms my heart to see people coming in and using the range, and that's what they want to do with their downtime all year round. Like, our range has probably been the busiest it's ever been the months of, you know, January, February, March. So.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That indoor game is a different beast, but boy, if you can get those people behind it. Jason, now he used to compete more regularly. I don't know if he still does now, but he used to travel around and shoot with you. What's he been up to?
He's been running the shop. He's been, I mean, honestly, this year he should be able to get out and shoot. Last year he didn't get to shoot that much just because of the shop. And, you know, we're still developing our employees and kind of getting everything to where, you know, it needed to be. And now we have a really good team behind us so that he can come and shoot the tournaments again. So he loves shooting. He shot Vegas and he finished in the top flight there. So that was pretty awesome for him.
Is he an indoor 3D? What's his game?
Both. I mean, okay. I would say he loves shooting indoors more than I do, for sure. But he loves shooting 3D also. And he shoots in the known 50 class. And but he's trying to decide this year if he wants to shoot known 50 or semi-pro. And, you know, all those decisions go into play. So we'll see what he decides to do.
When he's at a tournament, are you able to stay up to date with what he's doing? Or are you focused on your game and he just gives you updates?
It's funny you ask that question because he honestly won't tell me. Like,
oh, okay.
He purposely like keeps me out of the mix of what's happening at the shop so that I don't think about it or get frustrated.
Yeah.
You know, so he purposely does that, which is great. Like, he knows me well enough that, I mean, I remember there was a time when we had first gotten married and I had went to a tournament and he burnt his hands to like a crisp getting a soup bowl out of the microwave. And the man never told me until I got home. And I'm like, that's something you need to tell me. Why didn't you tell me? Like, he played it off like, oh yeah, my hands are fine. Like, I'm good. Like, nothing really happened. And I mean, crisp. Like, I had to take her to the doctor when I got home and I was livid. So, I mean, he's pretty good at making sure I don't know what's happening here to distract me.
Did you win the tournament though?
I think I did.
Yeah, there you go. Made it worth it. Well, and then also at these tournaments, you got your dad, John Fernandez. He's out there shooting as well. Does he, same question for him. Does he tell you what's happening or let you do your thing and then tell you afterwards?
No, you know, I think dad's pretty funny. Dad is the kind of person that when we are at the tournament, it is nothing but positivity the entire time. So even at like Foley this year, when I didn't get off to a good start the first day, he never said a word. It was all just positivity. And he's always been that way with my archery career, which is huge to have that person to kind of fall back on to talk to. And then he'll be like, okay, well, how can you fix it? And what can we do? And just be positive about the outcome. Like he said to me after Foley the first day, you know, this year, it's okay, you'll go get him tomorrow. I have no doubt. And so did Jason. Jason was right there like, yeah, no, I have no, there's no doubt. You'll go out and kill it tomorrow. And I'm like, and of course I'm analyzing. What happened? You know, they're like, you got this. They're cool as cucumbers. I'm like, okay. So, I mean, having that kind of support system like that is huge. It's huge. Like I can't say it enough. And I know I say it a lot. I always talk about my army, but they really are like, it's huge to know that you can call them or you can talk to them and they're right there and they know what you've been through. But then they also say, pick yourself up. You've got this.
Yeah. I always like the story about your dad that when you were younger and he would go to tournaments and bring you and if somebody said, oh, what'd you bring your daughter for? And he was like, oh, I'm not shooting with you anymore.
Yeah, no, it's true. Like, I remember like the local archery range, dad took me everywhere, you know, dad's girl. And he took me everywhere. And he showed up to shoot me one time and the guy pulled him over to the side and was like, why'd you bring your daughter? We don't bring our wives and kids out here. And he was like, I will never shoot with you again.
That's incredible. Good for him.
And so, you know, it's always been that thing. And it's been a thing that we've enjoyed to do together. And, I mean, I love it. I mean, I always say I would shoot no matter what, I'd still shoot my bow and I absolutely love it. So it's turned into, luckily for us, it's turned into be a major career and lifestyle for me. And, it's just been phenomenal for our family all the way around. So
I remembered what I was going to ask you. I'd be remiss if I did not ask about this. So last year at Metropolis, I think it was. I can't remember. You had your best round that you've ever shot. Tell me about that. Tell me what your score was and tell me what it was like when you were going through that round.
It was absolutely incredible all the way around. I had actually day one, I had trailed Kaylee by, I think it was 4 points. I had trailed her and I was pretty livid when I left that range. And I usually don't get mad. I usually visually don't get mad when I'm not happy with how I shot around, but I had managed the course incredibly well. And then it came down to kind of the last four targets and I shot 2.8s in the last four targets. And that'll leave you kind of mad when you leave a range.
Yeah.
And so that was those 4 points was right there. And I left and I grabbed my phone out and I called Jason and I said, I'm going after it tomorrow. I'm not leaving 1 ounce on that range. I'm going after it. And he was like, all right. okay, because it was starting to be busy season at the shop, and he was just, he'd never heard me talk like that, you know, like,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
alrighty then, well, I said, I'm gonna aim at every one of them, I'm not leaving anything out there, I'm going for it, I'm shooting too good, I've worked too hard, that's it, like, I want this so bad. And he was like, okay. So the next day we started off, and I didn't give it another thought the rest of the day, like, I let it go at that point. I had to do my vent session and I let it go. And the next day, first target was like a 42 yard Russian boar, black. It was dark. It was early in the morning. And I think we all shot 10s on it. And I was first up. And then the next target was like a close deer at like 23 yards.
Yeah.
And Kaylee shot the 12 and she was first up. And I was last at that point. And I was like, well, and there were, I think there were two in the top 12 and she had the lower one and she had it pretty blocked. Like, well, I'm going for it. Like, what do I have to lose? I'm not going to sit here and just bleed out. So I hit it. And then the next target was a long 50 yard turkey.
Ugh.
And I ended up 12ing that one.
Jeez.
So then I was within 2 points of her. And then the next target was a leopard. And I want to say it was like 27, 26 yards. And I 12 that one. And then I was tied with her. And then it just kept going. I don't think I missed, but maybe two 12s in the first 10 targets. And by the time we got to the 10th target, I had taken the lead and just went on cruise control. I think I shot like 7 in a row at one time. And it almost got comical. I remember Emily looking at me and she was like, yep. There's another. it got kind of comical, and we all, because it was Kaylee, me, Aaron, and Emily, we all just kind of were in disbelief at what was happening, to be perfectly honest. Like, I just had the numbers, I was aiming at them, and I was hitting them.
That's incredible.
I wasn't stopping. Like, I had that confidence, and I was just rolling, and once I knew I got to like 22 up, which was I think it was the previous, or 18 up was the previous record, something like that.
Yeah.
Once I got to that point and I knew that was the course record, like all around, I thought about it for a second and I was like, just keep going. You've got like 6-8 more left. Go. So I ended up shooting a 26 up round.
26.
Yeah. And, wow. I think 16, because I was 6 up. I should know all this, but again, my brain, I can tell you every target I shot that day and how far it was.
Well, it's like you're saying that, you know, Emily, Aaron, and Kaylee are there with you, because I don't shoot at your level anywhere near that, but I know I've shot enough that you, and I'm sure you've been there many times where you have those days where you're shooting like that and you're always just missing those lines.
Oh, yeah.
So to have those days where they're all hitting, it's like, yeah, this is the way it should be.
Yeah. And to have those girls standing there enjoying what they're seeing and realizing that this is kind of like, I would have felt the same way had it been any one of them.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Any one of them. And to sit there and have them watch it and see it and their faces light up and they're like, you got another one. You got another.
Yeah.
I mean, it was pretty cool to share that moment with them. And even as competitors, to know that we respect each other.
For sure.
And not out of the park, you know, but to really enjoy that moment with each other. Cause I've had the opportunity to watch them kill a range.
Yeah.
I've watched Kaylee do it. I've watched Emily do it. I mean, to see them kill a range, it's awesome to watch somebody when they're on fire like that. So
yeah.
I was just fortunate and blessed that it was me that day. But to share it with them was pretty awesome and something I'll never forget. So
what was your previous best for a 20 target round?
18 up.
18. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a pretty good jump.
Yeah. I had done 18. So that was pretty awesome.
Tell us about Archer. Where that came from, what your involvement is with it, what its purpose is. Tell us about Archer.
So we we developed Archer, and when I say we, I'd say the women's pro class as a whole developed Archer back in 2015. And so we've been around now for 5 years. And basically, the reason why we developed it was to bring light and to shed, you know, light on women in the sport of archery and help promote and develop the sport and women growing in the sport. You know, I'd grown up with this sport. Many other pro women have. Some have just started in the last few years. But the biggest thing that we all agreed upon was that there wasn't a shared wealth of knowledge or push for women necessarily to be in the sport. So we really wanted to inspire women to shoot, right, and to be mentors and help give tech tips and ideas and advice and put product hands. So a lot of the women will do product giveaways. We do a lot of product giveaways now with some great supporters and sponsors of the program of Archer. And, you know, we also give a lot of tech tips and advice and really just try to grow this sport positively for women. When I grew up in this sport, I couldn't talk to another woman about, you know, what release to shoot to fit my hand. I couldn't have those conversations, or, you know, what stabilizers you were shooting or any of that kind of stuff. And what worked and what didn't. I didn't have that opportunity. If I did, I was, as a little girl, I wasn't going to talk to a pro archer about that because I was so nervous. I was shaking my head.
Connie Calloway, Ginger Moorhead.
Yeah, all those women. You know, I grew up with them as my mentors. And so, you know, watching them get those Happy Gilmore checks, I just wanted to be them. Yeah. But I didn't want to answer those questions. I was fangirling it. So
yeah,
I think we've really opened up the opportunity for women to talk to pros and feel comfortable doing that. And I think we've really built the camaraderie on the ranges to be more of a respect factor rather than women really wanting to just kind of tear each other apart and beat each other down. You know, sometimes women can be, especially teenage girls, we can be pretty tough. I mean, you know, we can be pretty tough. You know, we can be, you know, women. So with that being said, I think it's definitely, I see a huge improvement from the youth classes when I came up. I see a huge improvement in the pro classes from when I became a pro to now, the level of respect and camaraderie. I hope Archer has played a major role in that. I'm told it has. I've seen Mike Terrell put together ASA pro-ams where the whole range is nothing but women.
Right.
It's pretty awesome. And it gives all of those women an opportunity to ask us questions and to feel like one-on-one. I've met some of the best friends that I still have friendships with today because of those types of pro-am events that he's put on for us. So
right.
It's pretty awesome. You know, we sell a lot of gear. We have a trailer at the shoots that helps with the brand and getting it out there for you guys. We have a website. We have an opportunity where people can purchase the stuff online. That all comes back to you guys. It all comes back in the forms of contingencies and opportunities to help grow women in the sport. So
what is the website while we're on it?
It's womenarchers.com.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
And I know you have a Facebook page and
we
you
do.
Have lots of social
Archer
media.
And we have Instagram. And
Well, I always like when we Competition Archery Media started coming to the ASAs and we wanted to get like a uniform system of scoring that people, you know, the scoreboards and that people who were on the range could see. And so we're out there working with the senior pro, men's pro, and known pro. And then we're like, well, look what the women do. They have scoreboards. Everybody carries boards. You guys already had the process. We just copied off what you were already doing.
Right.
No sense reinventing the wheel. The women, they're going to figure it out.
Yeah. We are. Really, we just did that to work together and communicate so that we knew what everybody was doing on the range. And it was a lot nicer just to walk down and not be so like, hey, what are you shooting right now?
Yeah,
where
exactly.
are you at? What's your score? It was a lot nicer just to walk down and say, oh, I just glance while I'm walking to the water jug and see what Sharon's doing or see what Kaylee's doing. I can just glance.
Yeah, yeah. That's
awesome. So And it works out good from a spectator standpoint too. So.
Yes. Yeah. Well, Cara, in this time where people are looking for content and looking to stay with their favorite archers, where can people follow you on social media?
So Instagram, Cara Archery is my handle. I'm on Facebook as Cara Kelly. And then I have a athlete page, Cara Kelly Archer On. So, all those avenues. And, gotcha. You know, I think we're all trying to get a little more involved on social media during this time, just to, you know, shed some light on our personal lives as well as our competitive lives. And I think we're all so busy preparing for the next event that sometimes, you know, we're not on there as much, being as boisterous and sharing techniques and things that work for us. So right. I think we're all seeing a little bit more of that, which is good, which is great.
Absolutely. All right, everybody, that's another episode of the Competition Archery Media Podcast. You can find our podcast on all the platforms where you find your favorite podcast. We certainly thank Cara Kelly for being here today. Cara, thanks for your time.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
We wish you the best. Stay safe. Good luck to you and Jason raising both those kids, and we look forward to seeing you at the next tournament.
Hey, maybe you'll see both the babies at the next tournament, too.
Absolutely. Thanks again, folks. Competition Archery Media Podcast. Be sure you go back through our library. You can find lots of old content and great stories. Thanks for joining us.